Well, good morning, High Point. How are y'all doing today? Merry Christmas. I'm glad and excited to see you all here on this lovely Sunday morning. I'm really loving the temperature outside. Gives me an excuse to wear this jacket and not look like a crazy person. So I just am super excited to see you all here. My name is Daniel Hunter. I'm a member of the preaching team here at High Point. And there may be some of you in this room that are wondering who the heck I am, because I haven't been up here in a while. And there are some of you that are wondering where the heck I've been, because I haven't been up here in a while. And just wanted to kind of share with y'all where I've been or why you've never seen me before. And back in July, I lost my father. And it was at that time I decided to kind of take a step back to mourn and to process everything. And then about a month and a half later, I lost my cousin to cancer. So as a family, we've been hit a lot this year, and I'm looking forward to New Year's Eve quite a bit. And it's taken a lot of time this year to recover and to reflect. And the reality is that I'm still knee-deep in that process. However, I also want to use this as an opportunity to take a second to thank many of you in this room and in this community. If you're new here, or if you've only come a couple times, I can't speak to the amazing community that exists here at High Point that comes alongside, and I just want to thank so many of you that have taken the time to send messages or just quietly pray on behalf of me and my family. The messages and the quiet presence that many of you have meant so much for me, and it's what makes this place my jacket. It's what makes this such a special place. There are truly amazing people here, and I'm beyond thankful because they've helped me reach the place that I'm in. And I won't lie. Standing up here this morning, it's difficult to not think about him. It's difficult to not think about how he'll never get to see this. But I sit today in the hope that I will see him again. And I'm now 158 days closer to seeing him than I was on July 5th. When we as a family had to say goodbye. So, if you're new and haven't had the chance to get to know me or meet me, please come find me after service. I'd love the opportunity to get to know you and to meet you. But enough about me. Trust me, I know that none of this is about me. However, the hope I sit in today leads us into where we are, what we're going to look at this morning, as we are in the second week of our Advent series titled The One. Give me a second, sorry. Throughout this series, we are looking at God as the One. Last week, Dave talked to us about how he is the one that brings light. He brought light into the world at the beginning of creation, and he is still the one that brings light into our world today and shines his light into the darkness. This morning, we're going to look at God as the one who prophesies. That might be a little confusing because when we think of prophecy or prophets, we tend to think of just name someone in the Old Testament. There's so many of them, and that's what we tend to think of when we think of prophecy. So it's important for us to understand what that truly is and what it really means. A prophet is someone who speaks for God or on behalf of God. You could say perhaps that they are a mouthpiece of God. So the person may be the one speaking, but they are just merely a vessel for what God is showing and revealing to us and to the world. Let's just look back at a moment at probably the greatest Old Testament prophet. We have Moses. And we get a glimpse of this reality as God sends him. In Exodus 4, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." Now this conversation continues, and Moses continues to doubt his effectiveness, saying that there's someone obviously better equipped. So God said he's going to send his brother Aaron alongside with him to help him speak. He's a better communicator. However, God makes it clear, though, that he will lead both of them and teach both of them what to say, because they're not speaking on their own authority, but they're speaking on the authority that comes only from God. And then we see all of this reach its peak through Moses as he writes the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a book consisting of three sermons or speeches given right before the Israelites were to enter the promised land. Think of it as like the last instructions before you go in. Things that God wants them to know. And it's in this moment, in these instructions, these sermons, that we see God yet again speak of the coming of Christ already. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let us now hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see the great fire anymore, or we will die.'" And then the kicker. "The Lord said to me, 'What they say is good, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among the fellow Israelites. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him.'" You see, early in their journey, in their wandering, in their distress, they called upon God to hear his voice so that they could be saved. Here's Moses saying, "Someone is coming. A prophet greater than me, coming straight from God, and you better listen to him." All the way back in Exodus and Deuteronomy, and even before that, with Abraham, because God is the one who prophesies. This is the plan for Christ. He wasn't a plan B. He wasn't a backup plan. As we prepare ourselves for his birth, God prepared from the beginning to send him to us. We saw that last week back all the way in Exodus. And it's because of these words in Deuteronomy that the Israelites moving forward would continually search for this prophet that would save and command them. They spent hundreds of years searching and looking for the Messiah. It wasn't necessarily the person that they were excited, but who was sending them. That's why in Acts, Peter even points us back to this passage to show all those who doubted Jesus to show them that he really was the one. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each from your wicked ways. He even references this prophecy again from Moses in Acts chapter 7 when he's in front of the Sanhedrin on trial for blasphemy. Pretty much saying, you guys know this. Like, hello. You've read it. You've studied it. It's a part of our history, our culture, and yet you're still missing it. Jesus is who he says he is because we have the words from God to lean on that point us to that. He is the ultimate prophet because he is God. Come down to heaven, come down from heaven to deliver his message and to build his church. That's why this is a season of hope and joy. It's the fulfillment of God's promise to us. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy made by the only one who could make it. God's faithfulness in full view. The comfort that we can take in knowing that we follow a God that has a plan. Nothing catches him off guard. Nothing catches him by surprise. He's in control. He knows what's happening. He knows what's coming. When do the Israelites want to hear from God? When do they make their plea? When they can see the fire and their hearts are full of fear. When do we most seek out the comforting words of God? When we're afraid. When we don't know what lies ahead. We seek those words because we know that God knows. Because time and time again, either through prophets or through his word, he tells us what is to come. As I said earlier, this has been a year of fear, sadness, and despair on my end. I've sought out so many times to hear the quiet, calm, strong voice of the Lord to help me. And it's because of the reality of this season, this promise, this prophecy, that I have hope even in the midst of my continued grief. The truth that Christ was born, that this prophecy was fulfilled, and this promise was kept, then I too can hold on to the promises that he gives us today. So even though my heart is broken, I rest in the hope and confidence that I will see my Father again. We can all rest in the confidence of God's promises. We don't need to look any further than what we're celebrating to remind us of that. So in that vein, I want to invite my mother up. to help me light our candle this morning as I read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. And as I read this passage, I want you to think of the hope that we have because he is the one who prophesies. Even in the midst of Joseph's doubt, God used prophecy to calm his heart and give him hope. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give to him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place, what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Let us pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your son. We thank you that Christ was born. We thank you for the hope. We thank you for the promises that we can lean on. You have a plan for our lives. You have a plan for all creation, and we can lean on that because your promises are true and your faithfulness is complete. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hope, church. We have hope this Christmas season because throughout the scripture we can see God's plan uniting all this together, creating his masterpiece, which we celebrate. In our doubt and in our questioning, though, how does he remind us of this plan? How does he show his beauty, even in the darkness? By pointing us back again to the fact he's already told us this was coming. When we think about the first 17 verses of this chapter, it's the genealogy of Christ. Why on earth would we possibly need that? I mean, none of us can remember all the names, probably can't even remember half of them. It's listed because it's yet another glimpse at how God has been telling us who was coming. Again, a reminder that there is no mistake, that this is all part of the plan. I told you who was coming, and here is the proof. This is the child we have been waiting on. And then, even in Joseph's biggest moment of doubt, God sends an angel to remind him of the prophecy. One that Joseph has definitely heard before from chapter 7 in Isaiah. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." You see, the prophet Moses promised back in Deuteronomy is Emmanuel, God with us. Think about that. Think about the ramifications of that reality. It shows us how low God bent down to save man. He accepted the weakness, frailties, and limitations and dependencies that come and be with us. It shows the miracle that God can add human nature to himself and still remain God. It shows the compatibility between fallen human nature and the divine nature, and how the two could be, and that the two could be joined shows that we are truly made in the image of God. It shows that we can come to him. If he has come to us, then we too can come to him. As Charles Spurgeon said, then, if Jesus Christ be God with us, let us come to God without any question or hesitancy. Whoever you may be, you need no priest or intercessor to introduce you to God, for God has introduced himself to you. Just the implications of the name alone, all again to fulfill the promise, to fulfill the prophecy that had been in place since the beginning of time. He's in control, church. There are no mistakes, and as we see the pieces come together, we know that we have a God that is with us. And as we think towards the future, we can continue to hold fast because of the proof that we have now. John Wesley died with that upon his tongue, and let us live with it upon our hearts. The best of all is God with us. So how do we live with that upon our hearts? Let's take a second and look back to those who experienced the moments. How did they trust? How did they live with it upon their hearts? How did God show them it was him? By reminding them of what he had already said through his prophets. So for us today, we must hold tight to what Scripture says. We must hold tight to the Word of God, because that is where we can find our strength and our comfort in the greatest, in our moments of greatest fear and sadness. It's also where we're going to find our answers in times of doubt when we wrestle. You see, if prophets were the mouthpieces of God, then as Paul told Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We too must hold fast to his word as our comforter and as our guide, because he is speaking to us through it all. This is how we guard ourselves against the false prophets we talked about in Matthew. True communicators for God will point you to Scripture. They will point you to Christ. They'll point you to the truth. You see, and if we ourselves don't have a grasp on that, then we can be easily swayed by things other than God to comfort us. We can be given false answers in moments of our doubt, so we no longer believe in the things of God, but we believe in people. You see, there is one who prophesies. There is one source of truth, and that is our God, who came to show us that truth and to rescue us from our sin. All Scripture points us either to the coming of Christ, to Christ himself, or to his eventual return. And that is the hope we hold on to this Christmas high point. For some of you, the holidays might be a difficult time. I won't lie to you, this has been a difficult season for me, and it's hard to carry the same joy I did before without my dad here. Maybe for you it's difficulties at home, money trouble, problems at work, relationships ending. It might just be that you're having your own battle of faith this Christmas season. And I just want to tell you this morning, church. That's okay. Maybe you feel inadequate with what's in front of you. You feel inadequate to deal with what lies ahead. Remember, Moses too felt inadequate to deal with what was given to him. All prophets dealt with human shortcomings, yet God was still able to work in and through them, because he is the one at work. He was the prophet, and they were a tool in his hands. God can and will do something great in and through you, no matter how inadequate or equipped you feel. He is the one. It's not the end. We have hope. We have joy. We have peace this Christmas season, not because everything in our lives is the way we would like it to be. Whether you're still grieving this morning or your life circumstances feel overwhelming, Christ is still coming. Christ was still born in the midst of hurt, pain, and brokenness. Our hurt, our circumstances can't stop that. They can't stop Him. He is with us in our sadness. He is with us in our brokenness. We don't need to look any further than Lazarus. He stops and he weeps with Martha and Mary. But he doesn't stop there. That's not where the story ends. He knew there was more to come and that the story wasn't finished. So he will mourn with you, but he will also call you into the promise of hope, because our grief and our hurt can't stop God's plans. We have hope because the one who prophesies is in control and has always been in control. And we see that more clearly than ever as we celebrate the birth of the one true prophet who came from heaven to save us from our sin. We celebrate the prophecy of the one who came into this world who knew no sin to take on ours so that we may be with him forever. Emmanuel, God with us. Let us pray, church. Dear Heavenly Father, we lean on your strength and your wisdom and your presence this morning. We all come carrying different burdens, different weights, different hurts this morning. But aside from all of that, we still have you. We still have your Son. We can rest in the promises that you have given us because we know they are true. You're in control. May we rest knowing that you are the one. The one above everything, the one above all of our hurt, all of our joy. You're the one. Amen.